We began last week talking about the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Are we part of a kingdom?
Yeah.
And wherever there's a kingdom, there has to be a king, right?
Yes.
And Jesus is our king, right?
Yeah.
And we're part of his kingdom. That means the government of God. It's his government. And the power, the word is dunamis. There are different words for power in the Greek New Testament. However, this particular word where it talks about in the end of the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6 and verse 13, it says, and the power, it's talking about God's miraculous power, his dynamic working power. So kingdom, government, right? Power and glory. When God shows up in glory, we have an anointing that we receive when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
But then there is a place where during corporate worship, the glory of God comes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the glory realm, miracles, everything is expedited. And miracles happen much easier. Now, we can lay hands on the sick and we can see miracles and results, but when the glory of God comes, because the people are hungry for his presence, I'm talking about his very presence. When we talk about the glory, we're talking about the manifest presence of God. And so, in the Holy of Holies, the Shekinah, the very manifest presence of God, dwelt. Amen? And once a year, the high priest would go behind that 6-inch veil. It was a very thick curtain, but never without blood, to not only atone for his own sins, but to sprinkle blood on the mercy seat for the sins of the people. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ, amen, our great high priest, even with his own blood, has entered in behind the veil, hallelujah, in the presence of heaven, in the presence of God. And he has sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat on our behalf so we could be forgiven. So our sins could be blotted out. They could be washed away. Aren't you glad that Jesus gave his life for us? Jesus didn't give his life for us to leave us where we were, to leave us in our pitiful state. Jesus came to redeem. You see, what's happening is, much of the church today is waiting for a rescue when God wants redemption. God wants to redeem humanity, amen?
Amen.
Through his church, through his people, those called by his name as agents on the earth representing the kingdom government of heaven. Our assignment is to reach as many as we possibly can for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When we receive power, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall, that same word is dunamis again, and you shall be witnesses. We need the power of God to be effective witnesses. Are you with me today, right?
Yeah. Right.
But power needs to be under authority.
Yes.
Thine is the kingdom, the government of God, and the power. Amen? What we receive has to be submitted by the desk of Father God. He has given us assignments. He has given us giftings and callings. But we need to be very careful that we're just not out doing our own thing, thinking that we're doing God a favor. We need to be under his authority. That means we need to be listening for the voice of the Good Shepherd. The Lord himself speaking to us and saying, go here, do this. What he shows us, we do. What he says, we speak. And so, the power, I want to talk about that. And interesting enough, we're talking about the power of God that came in Acts chapter 2, according to the prophet Joel, in Joel chapter 2, remember? It had been prophesied in the last days, the Lord shall pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Amen. Your old men would dream dreams, your young men would see visions, and even on your maid servants and your men servants, the Lord would pour out his spirit. Hallelujah. In other words, God's pouring out his spirit on who? Everybody. Folks, I want you to know something. God is pouring out His Spirit, not just on the church. God is drawing men and women, boys and girls throughout the earth to Himself. And God has given you and I the assignment as ambassadors to take the message of the gospel and to begin to speak this message of the kingdom of heaven to people. God is giving us His kingdom. God wants you to receive His kingdom. When we come into covenant with Christ through His blood, communion is saying, I am married to you, Jesus. We have come in to we've had marital wine together. We have vowed that we're going to be committed, amen, to one another. Everything I have is yours, and guess what? Everything He has is ours. We are receiving a kingdom. We haven't seen the whole thing yet, have we?
No.
We've received a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. But we haven't seen the full revelation yet. And that's why if you turn your Bibles to Matthew 6, I want to begin from here again and verse 9. In the Lord's Prayer, He said, pray this way. Now, how many would agree with me today that the Lord is not going to ask us to pray a certain way if He has no intention of answering that?
Oh, yeah, I'd agree with you.
Sometimes I think people just go, you know, they get into this thing where they're just repeating the Lord's Prayer and their vain repetition, blah, 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 as if He didn't hear you. Are you with me?
Yes.
Even we sing that way. But sometimes it's a repetitiveness of the word that we hear that births faith in us. So in that sense, it can be good. When we pray to who? Our Father in heaven. He has a name. Not just God, because people say God and they have all kinds of different gods that they call God. They fashion gods to fit themselves. I like God to be this way because I want to do what I want to do and I don't want to listen to anything else, you know, or anyone else. So to me, God's going to be like this. Basically, what you're saying is I'm going to be my own God. And yeah, I'll bring Him into the picture, but I'm going to do what I want to do. And that's called idolatry. And the Lord won't have it. Why? Because He loves you. He's jealous for you. He doesn't want you giving yourself away. How many like it? If your wife or your husband cheated on you, or your girlfriend or your boyfriend cheated on you, right? Huh? That doesn't feel good, does it? God doesn't like it either when we cheat on Him. When He says, don't do that because it hurts me, don't do that. Because God loves us so much, He has to punish us sometimes. He has to discipline us. How many enjoy the discipline of the Lord? Maybe not initially, but it's good for you. The power is the ability found in God. Amen? Hebrews 12 and verse 28 says this, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken or removed, let us have grace. Where do we get grace from? From God, right? Do you just sit around and hope grace shows up? No. We have to do something, don't we? We have to pray. We have to worship. We have to seek Him. We have to ask. We have to seek. We have to knock. Amen? You want God's provision, God's grace, God's power in your life? You're going to have to do something. You can't sit around and just hope it'll happen. One of these days, my ship will come in. I want to suggest to you that the ship is sitting in the harbor waiting for you to get on board.
That's right.
Amen?
Right.
You got to come to Jesus. He's there with his arms wide open to you, just waiting for you and I to step over that chicken line and go all the way with him. Surrender our hearts to him. We are to pray the kingdom in. This prayer, folks, thy kingdom come, or your kingdom come, your will be done, is not, I want you to think about this. Does that mean that we just pray for several thousand years? And then hopefully someday in the millennium, this prayer will be answered? Jesus will return to earth, and he shall set up his kingdom, and he shall rule over all the earth. But what is our responsibility? As a royal priesthood, we are to pray in the kingdom government of God, the kingdom reign of God on the earth. I want you to hear this. We, in a sense, are in the spirit of Elijah. We're saying, prepare the way of the Lord. The king is coming. The king is coming. The king is coming. And God has given grace to his church. He has given power that his church may demonstrate indeed that Jesus Christ is alive, that he is risen from the dead, that his glory, amen, is here. That we are to bear witness to the resurrection.
Yes.
This is not about winning a Bible debate. It's about the manifestation of God's presence, of his power, of his glory among us and in the church and through the church into the world. We don't have anything to offer, folks. I'm telling you, that's of any eternal value except to love people. Amen? And in order for us to properly love people, we must be endued with love. We must be filled with God's love. Amen? We're talking about a higher love, not the love of the world that is conditional upon, if you do me good, I do you good. But if you mess with me, you're in trouble. It's not the erotic love, the sensual love, as between a man and a woman. This is a higher love. It's agape love. God wants his people to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can be effective witnesses. Amen? Not in word only, but in word. In Mark chapter 16, and I believe it's verse 30, it says that the Lord worked with the church. They went out everywhere preaching the gospel. And the Lord worked with them. What did he do? He confirmed his word with accompanying signs. Folks, true Christianity will have fruit. Amen?
Amen.
But there will also be evidence of it. God wants to show up and manifest his presence and his power in such a way that every skeptic's either going to have to blatantly lie in the face of reality. Come on. Which they do already. Or they're going to have to say God is alive. Hello, Jesus is real. In the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 13, I just want to read a few verses here. I was watching in the night visions, Daniel said, and behold, one like the Son of Man. When you see Son of Man, who is that referring to? Jesus, right? Because he became like Adam. He was the Son of God, but became what? The Son of Man. For the purpose of redeeming you and I, who are in the condition of fallen man, he became also a Son of Man, to be the perfect, spotless, blemish, without blemish, Lamb of God, slain, amen, for us, when he was nailed on the cross for our redemption. And he came, it says, coming with the clouds of heaven, and he came to the Ancient of Days, he came to the Father, and they brought him near before him, And verse 14, then to him who? The Son of Man. Was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. That all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. What is our assignment, folks? Our assignment is to take the message of the kingdom into all the earth. And this message, amen, of the kingdom shall be preached into all the earth for witness. Then the end shall come. His dominion, you have to have a domain to have a dominion, amen? Is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one that shall not be destroyed. Now verse 28 of Hebrews 12 again, it says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, removed, or in other words, it cannot be destroyed. Aren't you glad that we are in a kingdom that is an eternal, everlasting kingdom? Amen. It's not going to be destroyed. The devil is not going to overcome the Lord or his church. The Lord said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the councils of the wicked rulers in high places, will not succeed in destroying the church. They will not prevail against her. Aren't you glad we're on the winning side? Aren't you glad that we have a God who has enough power to keep you? What we got to do is shift away from trusting ourselves. And when you trust in Him, you'll find the power of God is there. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom, verse 18, forever and ever, forever and ever. What is this saying? Who's the saints of the Most High? Look at verse 26 and 27. But the court shall be seated and they shall take away his dominion. This is talking about the Antichrist. How many know the spirit of Antichrist is very active today? What's the spirit of Antichrist? It's the spirit of Satan at work. To consume and destroy it forever. What's going to happen? His kingdom is coming down, folks. Now, the Lord would not empower His church to continue the works that Jesus began if we were going to end in defeat. Think about it. The Lord would not tell us to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, if He didn't intend to answer that. Oh, I'm challenging some theology today. We are receiving a kingdom, folks. In other words, it's in progression right now. We are the ones who are on the earth, His representatives, calling down the rain of heaven as we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth. As in heaven, so let it be on the earth. Lord, let heaven come down. Amen. Are you with me? Let heaven come down. If we understand this, then we're going to pray more. We're going to say, God, let heaven come down in my life, in my family, amen, in my community, in my city. Let heaven come down in Shelton. Lord, we want to see the enemy destroyed. Jesus wouldn't tell us to go and destroy the works of the devil if He didn't intend to do it. What did Jesus do? He came to destroy the works of the devil. When Jesus rose again, He had the keys. Hallelujah. Who's in charge?
Jesus.
There's going to be a millennial reign on the earth. I believe that. 1,000 years and Christ will reign on the earth. But our purpose, folks, as a royal priesthood, under the governmental rule of Father God, amen, as heirs to the throne, joint heirs under our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are to call in the rain of heaven. We are to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And then suddenly the sound, right, from heaven, as of a mighty rushing wind, came and filled the place where they were assembled. And there appeared upon their heads as cloven tongues of fire. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke in other tongues. They spoke in languages they had not learned. They spoke in the languages that were known to men. The man may be speaking in his language, but they're understanding in their language. Isn't that miraculous?
Yeah.
In other words, they are speaking in tongues and languages they never learned. That was the initial evidence, as we see in Scripture, that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit had occurred. That's not the only evidence, folks. I don't believe that. But that was the initial physical evidence. How did they know? Because miracles began to occur. Something miraculous happens when God shows up. God's not limited by what we're a part of right here, amen? He is supernatural. And if we are in Christ, we are supernatural people.
Yes.
And we should expect a life of the supernatural.
Yes, we should.
For what reason? To demonstrate that Jesus Christ is alive. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That we're not just playing church here, folks. We are the church.
Amen.
Folks, the world needs to see the power of God in demonstration. Are you with me today?
Yes.
Jesus came and He declared the kingdom of heaven is among us in Matthew 3 and 2. And then He left and He did what? He sent the Holy Spirit to continue the work that He began. He said, those who believe in Me, the works that I do, they shall do also and greater works than these because I go to My Father. Why? Because now the Holy Spirit has come upon all of us to empower us to demonstrate that the kingdom of heaven is here at hand among us. It's like, you know, we're wandering around in the dark and we're looking for something that's right there in front of us. God, where are You? And He's right there. He's right there. And you're saying, God, where are You? And He's right. You say, I'm right here. I told You I'd never leave You, but I don't feel You. We don't live by that, do we? No. How many have been in trouble because you've felt, you know, like doing something? It felt good at the time. So Jesus didn't tell you and I to sit around and wait for an escape. Because God is looking for the harvest. So this kingdom is accompanied by power. And He told His disciples to wait for the promise of the Father. And then in Acts 1:8, I already quoted this, He said, you shall receive dunamis when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. Now this is the very sad and unfortunately reality is that there are many Christians who do not believe in this power. But nonetheless, it's given to you and I to bear witness to the resurrection of Jesus. Other times people do not believe in the power simply because they've never had an experience. Isn't it true? I'll believe it when I see it. And sometimes God allows you to see it so you'll believe it. Sometimes it's because people have never had a supernatural manifestation in life so they don't believe it's real. And unfortunately still others are offended. Or they're worried that others will be offended by the Holy Spirit. So they refuse to yield to Him. Thank God it's not a case here, but there are a lot of churches across America, amen, probably around the world, where they just don't want to trouble the Holy Spirit because it may make the Joneses upset. How many know that this is what's going on? The devil has duped people. He has stolen from the church. And he has told people a lie that you need to please man. You got to please make everybody happy in church. Because when everybody's happy, everybody will come. And especially the people that are the biggest tithers, you really got to make them happy. Because if they don't tithe, man, you don't. The lights go off, you know? How many know that God is bigger than that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're not going to shut off the flow of the Holy Spirit here.
No.
We want God to show up.
Yes,
we want God to manifest His glory and His power, because it's the power of God that's going to destroy the yoke of bondage off of people. It's going to break that thing off. It's the anointing that destroys the works of the devil. What is the anointing? It's the Holy Spirit. It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. In symbolism, we have oil. You know, we talk about, you know, the oil. We anoint with oil. It's simply symbolic. Amen. There's nothing about this oil except that it's an act of faith. As we apply the oil, we're believing God's going to honor that act of faith of obedience. And that when we pray for the person, they're going to be healed. There's times you don't have any oil. You just lay hands on them, and guess what? God still heals. Imagine that without the anointing oil. But if we have opportunity, we'll obey what James said in James chapter 5, right? If there's any sick among you, let them call. Anoint with oil. Pray the prayer of faith. Folks, because of this denying of the reality of the kingdom, of the power of God that is manifest and given freely to the church for the purpose of making Jesus known in the earth. Because of this, many folks are oppressed. Many folks are sick that don't need to be. There are many people that all they do is they sit around and they pray for grace to endure. There are times when you just need the grace to endure. But how many know that God often will intervene and give somebody an instantaneous healing? And an instantaneous healing is a miracle. That's the difference between a healing and a miracle. A miracle is instantaneous, and a healing is something that you pray for them and they go away and it's expedited. They begin to very quickly and rapidly get healed. They heal up. So just because somebody doesn't get healed on the spot, we've had people walk out the door, and by the time they get out the door, they're healed. Or they're on their way home, or they wake up in the middle of the night and realize that they're healed. But they got prayed for, amen? And we laid hands by faith, and God is the one who does the work.
Amen.
We've got to get over ourselves and the opinions of, well, what if nothing happens? How many know the devil wants you to think that way when you pray for somebody?
Yeah.
As soon as you go to pray for somebody, he's going to say, well, nothing's going to happen. You're going to look like a fool. It ain't about you.
That's right.
It's about being obedient to God. If God said do it, I'm going to do it.
Yes. Amen.
I'm not here to make myself famous. I want Him to be famous. I don't have to worry about the famous part. It's amazing when I was in the world, partying it up, you know, and just people-pleasing everywhere, making everybody like me, trying to. It never really worked, but I thought I was, you know, I thought I was arriving at that. Seemed like I had a lot of friends, you know, I was just doing my own thing. And it's amazing, when I got born again, all of a sudden I had enemies.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Even some of the people I hung out with. You don't want that Jesus freak around anymore. I played in a band for a season in Tacoma, and these guys were heavily medicated, and, you know. And I'd go back to practice after I got born again, and we'd go and practice, and I was still pretty raw, you know. God was working stuff out of me. I know we shouldn't laugh at that, but you know what?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad that God has patience with us? And I want to tell you, the amazing thing is this. As soon as I started talking about Jesus, it's like everybody got sober. It's like, whoa, dude. It was a very short time after that where the band was no longer so. And then I got an invitation to play at church where we started to go. And I tell you what, it's never been the same. I'm just having a good time. You know, God gave me the ability, what there is, what I've been able to do with it. And And I'm just thankful that I can share with you and with the Lord, amen, in this. You know, God gives us music, folks, and it is also for you. It's okay. You know what? It's okay to enjoy good music. Now, I said good music. That's up to in personal interpretation, but it's okay. But the ultimate goal, and when we come together and when we worship, is that you might look beyond all this. Amen? You might look to the heart of Father God, and draw near to Him. You might really, really go deep into God and experience the ecstasy, the joy, the pleasures of God. And find that there is nothing in this world that can compare to what I've just encountered with the living God. I don't need to get high anymore. I don't need those inferior stuff when I can go to the King of Kings, when I go to the Most High God. So God wants to demonstrate, manifest His presence. And there are many, unfortunately, who have a form of godliness, 2 Timothy 3:5. They have a form of godliness. They play church. They practice certain things. They know how to sing the songs, and sometimes they give these well organized sermons that, you know, are even doctrinally correct, but there's something missing. There's no power. I don't want to get up here and talk to anybody unless I prayed and I've asked God, fill me with power, Lord. Enable me so that, Lord, out of me, You will touch, You will reach, You will heal, You will deliver people. I know in myself there's no good thing, but when I yield myself to God, it's amazing. We don't need another dry sermon. We need to encounter and experience the living God and the reality of who He is. We need the Word of God, the living Word. Amen?
Amen.
Through the Scriptures, we come to know who He is. So you needed to be in the Word and to learn of Him so that you might know Him. Now, in the Old Testament, whenever the Holy Spirit came upon people, whenever one was anointed with the Holy Spirit, miraculous changes occurred. How many remember Saul? Man became King Saul. When he was anointed by Samuel, it says he received a capacity beyond himself to rule and lead people. The Lord said, you'll be coming down, prophets will be coming down from the high places, men playing instruments, right, and prophesying. And Saul would come down with them, and he would also be changed into what? Another man. What happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon us? We become a different person. We become a supernatural person. See, this is what it takes to get the job done. The church has been powerless because we've been playing church, practicing religion, and the world is going to hell. We need the power of God in us, amen, and upon us, so that we can go and demonstrate that the devil is not bigger than God.
Amen.
The reason why people get into witchcraft and all this other garbage that's out there is because they haven't seen the reality of the kingdom.
Yeah.
Because the church is busy playing church. Because the churches so often are powerless. And folks, it's because there's a heart of worship in the people. Because we worship in spirit, we worship in truth. As we call upon the name of the Lord, and as we cry out to God, heaven comes down, and the glory of God comes and moves among us. Changes begin to happen in us. Miraculous changes. Saul became another man. He was able to do what he couldn't do naturally. He could lead now people. Who's another one? Samson. He received supernatural strength when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Are you with me?
Yeah.
What else? He was able to fight in a supernatural way to overcome many men at one time. Solomon received supernatural wisdom and knowledge beyond any man by the Spirit of the Lord. David received unusual giftings in music. David was also given unusual anointing and creativity to be able to create musical instruments of all manner and all kind. David had received a prophetic anointing, a mantle, that as he would play and as he would sing, God would begin to download into him and he would begin to speak the very oracles of God through that. How many know there's a connection between music that is the sound from heaven being connected in with God, amen, and the prophetic, when God begins to speak through a person? How many know that often as we are worshiping here, God is speaking prophetically, especially others like this morning as we began to worship, as we were worshiping, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Judy and gave her a word. Often, amen, and others as well among you. Sometimes you need to step out, folks, because God wants to use you too. It's okay. We won't chop you off at the knees if you make a mistake.
Good.
We need to understand what God is doing, you know, and we need to understand His ways. There's an order, you know, to a service, right? There's an appropriate time for everything. It's not always the time to jump up and prophesy. But we'll find that if we're together and we're not just tuning into one another, but we're tuning into heaven, we're tuning into Jesus, that things will work out perfectly. They'll work out decently and in order. And there will be prophecy. There will be tongues and interpretation. God will decide sovereignly just to heal somebody. How many have ever been healed that didn't even ask for it?
Oh, yeah.
Look at that. Didn't even ask for it, and God just healed you. I've been healed of things that all of a sudden I realize I've been healed. I've been healed for a while, and then I realize, hey, I'm healed. So in the Old Testament, leaders, prophets, priests, kings were anointed with the Holy Spirit in order to have the ability to effectively perform their duties. And so Peter on the day of Pentecost confirmed what Joel the prophet had said, that in the last days he's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Now, the question then becomes, how then do I receive the power of God in my life? Good question. Okay. How many know that the simplest answer to that is to ask? How many know that you don't have to beg? You have to ask in faith. Ask and believe that when I ask, God's going to answer me. You know, this has shifted everything. People have struggled with, you know, they've wanted to be released in their prayer language, for example, and they've struggled with that, and they've been told, you got to tarry, you got to do this, you got to beg, you got to whatever, you know. And until the day that all of a sudden they realize is that, well, does God want to give the Holy Spirit to you?
Yes.
If He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to you, right? So God wants to give you the Holy Spirit. Not so you can just have goosebumps and look spiritual. And have a following after yourself. But so that we might demonstrate the kingdom and make Jesus famous, right? So if God wants to give you the Holy Spirit, and you've asked Him for the Holy Spirit, then the question becomes is why haven't you received it then? It's kind of like, can I have that? And they say, sure. And they're reaching out to give you a gift. God, how come you didn't give it to me? He already did. What did you need to do? You need to just reach out and by faith receive it. It's that simple. We've made it difficult. The reason why people don't receive from God is because we have a mentality of works. Everything has to be worked for. Everything has to be earned. Instead of coming to a realization of the reality that the kingdom of heaven is at hand among you right now, that God is more willing to give you the Holy Spirit than you may be to even ask Him for it.
Yeah.
And that when you ask for it, Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find.
Amen.
Knock and the door will be opened unto you. So you're not, this is one way that you don't get filled with the Holy Spirit. Sitting around doing nothing. I know that was deep. But it's true. People sit around and go,
nothing's happening.
It's a cooperation in the Spirit with God. I yield to Him. I believe, I trust Him. When I ask for it, I believe I receive it. He said, even when you pray for people, He said, when you stand praying, you know, believe in your heart that you receive it. That's how you do it. He didn't say when you have a twitch or you get goosebumps or you flop on the floor. No. When you pray, believe. When I pray for people, I struggle like everybody else at times, but I try to always approach it with the fact that, you know what? God wants to heal this person. And I asked Him for it, and I'm going to believe Him for it. And it's amazing how that started to change things. Sometimes I'll tell, I believe God's going to heal you today. I mean, that's really stepping out there. That's faith. That God wants to heal a person. And sometimes that also helps their faith because they say, oh, really? Oh, great. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto you. As the man, you know, who's crippled at the gate, beautiful, right? He sat there. Now, he looked upon them as though to receive something from them. What did he do? He had a receptive heart. He had anticipation. He had expectation. He probably, I don't know, they probably reached in their pocket like this and said, well, we ain't got anything in there. He said, silver and gold don't I have, but what I have, I'm going to give to you. So he's thinking, oh, great, I'm going to get something. It shifted him into a state of believing now that he's going to receive. How many here would say to me today that you really need more of God's power in your life? How many here have never been baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? It's okay if you haven't. Just okay, it's all right if you haven't spoken in tongues. God wants you to. No? We say, but that's just, yes, that's the least. No, if it's a gift from God, it's important.
Yep. Yeah.
There are different types of tongues. But there is a prayer language that if you are a child of God, you've been born again, that you have, that God wants to activate in your life today. God wants you to have that. So out of the hands that went up and said, I never prayed in tongues, but I'd like to receive a baptism that will enable me, a baptism of power that will enable me to be released in a prayer language, a heavenly language. How many of those hands just say, that's what I want. I would like to receive that today. God bless you. How many know the purpose of the power? The purpose of the power is to demonstrate the kingdom, right? Jude verse 20 says, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that we can pray in our known tongue and still be praying under inspiration. Would you agree?
Yes.
But I believe that there's a time, and I thank God for that, where I need to just pray in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, in a language I've never learned, because it enables me to do something. Sometimes you struggle fumbling for words. How many have ever had trouble trying to pray?
Yeah.
Okay, all of us have. If your hand didn't go up, then maybe you haven't been praying. I don't know, but just teasing. How does one receive this promised power? Jesus said, folks, that the baptism with the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. Amen, Father God. Now, if it's a promise, it's a good thing. It's a desirable thing. We should want. Amen? To be filled with the power of God. Because when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when you are endued with power from on high, you become another person. You have a boldness that you wouldn't possess any other way. You have ability that, apart from the Spirit of God, you wouldn't be able to operate in. In order for us to get the job done, we must be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm hoping that everybody's saying, I'm hungry, I want more, Lord.
Yes.
Faith in God's promise. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith. I believe that God loves me, that God has accepted me, that God has forgiven me, that I am His child, that my Father wants to give good gifts to me because I'm His child. And when I come to Him, I'm coming to a Father who is a good Father, who is a benevolent and a loving Father, who only has good intentions for me. And Father is going to give me what I need that is good.
Yes.
Right? So we come with confidence before the throne of grace. By faith. It is impossible to please Him unless you come with confidence when you believe Him. For he who comes to God must believe He is, and that He is a rewarder.
Yes.
Anybody like to get rewards?
Yeah.
Acts 2:39, for the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Hallelujah. The second way, I want you to hear this, that you receive the power of God is obedience to God. Acts 5:32, and we are witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. Folks, it's not a long process. It's simply you and I agreeing to get today that God, I'm going to commit my life to You. Amen. I'm asking You to forgive me, and I'm going to toe the line with You. I'm going to walk with You in obedience. When you make that choice, Father says, good. Here you go. Not that you have to crawl on your knees and do penance and... Thank God, you just need to come to Jesus with a sincere heart, an honest heart. Another way that you receive the power is by, obviously by prayer, but by laying on of hands. As we lay hands and believe God, then there'll be an impartation. Acts 8 and verse 14. Now the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had first of all what? Received the word of God. Then sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet He had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. What happened? Verse 17. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. There are people, they're Christians, they've been baptized, you know, they're doing the right thing, they want to follow God, but they have not received the endowment of power that God wants to give to them so that they can become powerful for Him. Are you with me today? God wants His church to be effective. And we cannot be effective in our own natural ability. We have limited effectiveness in our natural ability. We need the supernatural ability of God.
Amen.
And so you don't need to be fearful because the Father is a good Father. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get a demon. Sometimes the reason why people don't receive is because they're fearful. They're afraid they're going to get something they don't want. When you come to God, you believe. He's not going to give you anything that's not good for you. Another way, folks, that you're not going to get filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to hear this, is to offer God a good life. Offer God faithful service. Well, God, look how good I am. Surely I deserve. The Bible says there's none good, not one. For all have sinned. Amen? Our goodness is His goodness. Our righteousness is His righteousness. You don't come to God offering Him a good life. You come to God offering a mess. Come on. You come to God, and I'll tell you what, one of the biggest messes is self-righteousness. I'm so righteous. Lord, the Pharisee prayed, I'm glad that I'm not like other men. We need to be like the publican who beat his chest and said, God, be merciful to me. Just be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord says, of course, I've been waiting for you just to call on me. I've been waiting to hear from you because I have something good for you. has something so much better for you. God has something good for you. God has something good for you. God wants to give you good gifts today. God wants to grace you today. God wants to empower you today. God wants to fill you with His power today. Are you open? Are you ready? Are you receptive?
Yes.
Do you want to receive from God?
Yes.
Do you want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Well, hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet then?